Today, we are preparing you for a quiz for next week. All right? So, in other words, we're going to leave the attribute of the holiness of God after next week. So, I want to be able to say that we have retained something. Okay? And it's great to have the Carlsons back from their worldwide tour.
Amen.
I hope that truck's got a flat tire so we see you for a while. All right, so I'm expecting you to give some of the answers today. And then I want you to write down the answer. And next week we're going to have a quiz. What do you think about that?
Terrible.
Terrible? You know what? I'm going to guess that you'll get 100 on it. Awful close. That lady, she's a student. Okay? All right, so let's see how we can do on a short test here. Scriptures to know about the holiness of God. Okay? Now, let's stop here for a minute. Do you think that we should know references in the Bible? You think we should know that?
Yes.
How many think you shouldn't know that? How many think you shouldn't know that? Okay? Sometimes we have the problem that we know a lot about something and but we have very little that we can hang on to. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of the age in which we live. Just illustration on that line, Jonathan Goforth, as he prepared to go to China, which is somewhere around the turn of the century, 19th century, he knew there weren't any Christian books written in Chinese. And if they were, he couldn't read them anyhow. And so he decided that if he was going to be prepared for the mission field, he had to know everything the Bible said and where to find it. And that was his philosophy of missionary training. And really, I think that was an excellent philosophy of Bible training and missionary training. And we need to be able to do the same thing. We need to be able to recall truth so that our mind thinks correct. This is my philosophy. If we can't recall something, okay, then it isn't readily available for the Holy Spirit to grab and to use in our life. You know, the sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. That's the tool that He uses. And if it isn't readily available for Him to use, well, then we're expecting, the sun to stand still, you know, every day in that sense, the Word. And on the other hand, secondly, when we talk to people, we ought to be able to talk in a intelligent manner. The Bible says that Paul said that he, because knowing the terror of the Lord, he persuaded men. And how did he persuade men? In the Scriptures. You know, he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So we need to have Scripture truth and Scripture references right at the top of our mind for our sake, our own personal sake, as well as for the ability to be a correct thinker. Okay, you know, your mind only functions by what you have put on it and what is readily available. If it isn't readily available, guess how you're going to think? You know, if I know anything about human nature, you know how we're going to think? We're going to think like we thought when we were young people. Because that's what's, you know, we remember what's in our youth like yesterday, don't we? That's how our mind functions. Okay, so let's see how you do. All right, the holiness of God is a great theme of heaven and eternity. The great theme of heaven and eternity. Give me a couple verses. Let's start with one. Okay, very good. Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. Okay, turn there quickly. So you, if you aren't familiar with it, you can see it. Here is Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And what did he see in heaven? He saw the seraphim, and what were they saying? Holy, holy, holy. Okay? That's what he heard them saying. That's the great theme of the angels in heaven, the holiness of God. Okay? And you know, if it wasn't such a magnificent truth, they wouldn't be saying it, would they? Okay? How about one more? It's in Revelation. Are we looking? Yeah, I did. But we ought to be able to get it off the top of our... we were on this thing for about 5 weeks now. How about Revelation 4:8? Okay, so when you think of a place in the Bible that lifts us up to heaven, what's happening in heaven, you should always be thinking of Revelation chapter 4. Why? Because Revelation 3 is the end of the church age, and the rapture takes place, and now where are the saints? In heaven. Revelation 4, the saints in heaven. Got to keep that in our mind, right? All right, and so what's happening in heaven? What are the angels saying there? At 4, verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. They rest not day and night. Wow. Continuous lifting up the holiness of God in heaven. Wow. That's got to be a dominant picture in our mind, doesn't it? And we're going to be a part of that chorus. Okay, so the holiness of God is a great theme of heaven and eternity. And it emphasizes that this is just that picture, that reality emphasizes this is the greatest attribute of God. His holiness. That message, okay? Over and over and over and over. Okay? So the two references are? Very good. All right? That's what we want to be able to do, just like that. Okay? Number two. The name of God. Represents. This is wrong wording here, but The name of God is represented by His holiness, or His name. The name of God emphasizes His holiness. Let's look at a few verses. These are a little bit more obscure. Psalm 145. Try to remember these for next week. So we're trying to pinpoint a couple verses that we can hang on to. Psalm 145, verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever. There we go. Now that fits right in with Revelation 4 and Isaiah 6, doesn't it? It says, let all flesh bless His holy name forever. All right? That's a great truth. Okay? Now we have a couple verses here that talk about swearing by His holiness. We're in Psalm 89, verse 35. Psalm 89 and verse 35. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. Okay? And the emphasis here is, what is God swearing by? Okay? You know, today people say, you know, I swear by, you know, on top of a stack of Bibles. You know? I mean, that's supposed to represent, you know, the most magnificent thing. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so God says, I swear by what? His holiness. Okay? Quite a thought, isn't it? Okay? Now, again, a lot of times we just take these, I know how I do this. Many times we just take these things just kind of flippantly. Oh yeah, okay. He swears by His holiness. No big deal. We have to stop and think, wait a minute. You know, these aren't just words here. They are, but there's a great picture here. God is swearing by His holiness and the greatness of who God is and His great attribute of holiness. Amos 4:2. Well, let's not go there, but because we want to get through this and our time is running out here. All right? Number three, holiness is the attribute that makes God beautiful and glorious. Holiness is the attribute that makes God beautiful and glorious. So, first of all, Exodus 15:11. This is a verse that we ought to have on the top of our, one of those verses we ought to have on top of our head. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee? Glorious in holiness. Okay? Exodus 15:11. Glorious in holiness. Anybody remember what I told you that the key, the root idea of glory, glory is? Heavy. Heavy. Remember it said how that in the Bible it says Eli fell off his stool and fell backwards, and he died because he was heavy. That's the word, same word, glorious. And the idea is that a soldier was a glorious soldier by the weight of all the medals that were pinned on his uniform. Okay? And so what does he say? That that God's glory, the thing that lifts him up, is what? His holiness. Glorious in holiness. Okay? Now we're getting to some old-fashioned thinking, looking at these verses. The holiness of God. All right? Then a couple verses on the fact that God's holiness is beautiful. 1 Chronicles 16. And 1 Chronicles 16 is the context of David bringing up the ark into Jerusalem and appointing the choir, the Levites, to sing the praises of God. And he is telling them one of the great themes. 1 Chronicles 16, 29. Give unto the Lord, verse 28, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. All right? The beauty of holiness. Now, of course, holiness involves, is really twofold. Obviously, free from the lack of any defilement. Okay? But it is the corresponding aspect is perfect fullness of the goodness and all God's perfections, and so the beauty of holiness. Those are two great verses there, and we mentioned this, that we don't live in a day in which holiness is beautiful. Hollywood is beautiful. Makeup is beautiful. Flesh is beautiful. That's what's beautiful today. But holiness? That's not beautiful. We have wrong definitions. Boy, I wonder what happens when people see God. We're going to get a whole new... their vocabulary is going to have all new definitions. All right, number four. Okay, we're just going to give you two verses. If we have time, we'll go back. Okay, so I'm going to require two verses. If you want to get this right, right? DJ, you want to have these remembered next week, right? That's right. Okay, number four. Holiness of God is described... about wherever he abides. In other words, wherever God is, that place is holy. Okay? Some typical thoughts. How about the holiness of his throne? Psalm 47:8. I think that one of the things that we miss in the book of Psalms, I'm thinking of this myself, is that one of the things that we miss in Psalms is we have some repeated themes that they are repeated so many times that we almost miss them. Okay? And one of the great themes here in Psalms is in the worship of God, and in the worship of God, they are worshiping him for who he is, and of course, that great attribute that is repeated over and over is the attribute of his holiness. Psalm 47, verse 8. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. He sits on the throne of his holiness. So we have this picture of God sitting on his throne. And this is a holy throne, a place of holiness. Now, getting back to the theme of Psalms, is that through the years, just working with young people and looking at devotion notebooks, a lot of times young people, if they want a quick hot dog devotion, they'll go to the Book of Psalms. And there's a lot of great things in Psalms, but just by thinking about what we're talking about today, typically the great truths that are there go way over there. They don't even think about it. And many times the same thing for us, it doesn't even glance off of us. You know? And here's a description of God. Alright? Psalm 48, verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. And this city of God is called the mountain of his what? Holiness. The mountain of his holiness. We're close by Psalm 93, verse 5. Psalm 93, verse 5. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, once in a while. Forever. Wow. You know, we talk about an everlasting theme, right? Okay? Then I put down a real simple one. Exodus 3:5. What happened in Exodus chapter 3?
God told Moses to take his shoes off.
Yes, very good. God told Moses to take his shoes off because the place that he stood was what?
Holy ground.
Holy ground. Where God is, that's holy ground. Okay? Number 5. Holiness is the principal attribute that is the basis of moral, ceremonial, and social law. Holiness is the principle, the holiness of God, is the attribute that is the basis of moral, ceremonial, and social law. Leviticus 19 and verse 2. Okay, we're going to couple this with another verse. It says, speak unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. These two go together because the commandments in Leviticus that include moral, ceremonial, as well as social law, all of them are based on, God says, I am the Lord. Don't do this. I am the Lord. Do this. Why? Because I'm the Lord. I said this. I gave this commandment. Why? Because I'm the Lord. Don't you dare do this, because what? I'm the Lord. And So the basis of all moral, ceremonial, social law is the holiness of God. And our country wants to eliminate God. The Democratic Party had a great argument about eliminating God from their platform. John MacArthur said, he went to the Democratic Convention, he said it was like reliving Romans chapter 1. The atmosphere. It was like living in Romans chapter 1. What a statement. So, I hope you don't vote for the Democratic Party. 1 John 1, 5. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him. And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay, so what is the standard? Okay? We've got a minute. It says here, the great theme, it says, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare unto you, and that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? So, fellowship. This is a great theme of the Bible, a great theme of 1 John 1, is having fellowship with God. Okay? So, how do you have fellowship with God? The word, here's God, he's light. Okay, here's God. This is where God's walking. Okay? And everybody today is saying they're having fellowship with God, right? Well, the word fellowship means, basic principle is common. Alright? And so what's it saying? It says, God is light. Okay? Now, so how are you going to have fellowship with God? If the word fellowship means common, it means this. You're walking on the same ground God is. That's fellowship. Common ground. Okay, what do people want today? Here's man down here, and they want God to come down to man's level. The Bible says, if we walk in darkness, we do not the truth. We lie and do not the truth. You know, trying to change God, bring him down to man's level. No. Fellowship is man has to be brought up to God's level. That's why he saved us. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the Bible. So we can know what this ground is, that God, that who God is, it, that is the only place we have fellowship with God. And of course, they're trying to replace fellowship with God by a feeling. And that's they're producing it by their music today. And so you can replace fact with fiction. Okay? Number 6. God's holiness reveals the need for Christ to come to earth to redeem men. I think of the verse. That God might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. We have a holy God And man rebelled against God, sinned against God. And there is a penalty for sin. There's a penalty from a righteous God that had to be paid in order for man to have fellowship with God. And a holy God had to send his holy Son to make a holy sacrifice that sinful man might have fellowship with a holy God. The holiness of God is the foundational principle of the doctrine of salvation. That God might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Okay, so our homework for next week is to get these Bible references in your mind. Romans 3:26, I'm sorry. Romans 3:26. You heard that verse before. But where it is, sometimes we don't remember. Okay? So, have those scriptures in your mind. Not only the reference, but what they say. Okay? So, number one, Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, Revelation 4, 8, number 2, Psalm 145, 21, Psalm 89, 35, and Amos 4, 2. Number 3, holiness is Exodus 15, 11, and 1 Chronicles 16, 29. There's some others there that we could, Psalm 29, 2 as well. Holiness describes wherever he abides. His throne, 47:8, Psalms, 47:8, yep. His mountain, 48:1. Holiness becometh his house, 93:5. And holy ground, Exodus 3:5. Holiness, the principal attribute that is the basis of moral, ceremonial, and social law, 1 John 1:5 and Leviticus 9, 2 and 3. Number 6. Pardon me? 19. I'm sorry. Leviticus 19, 2 and 3. See, I'm glad you were awake. I'd lead you astray, the blind leading the blind. Number 6, Romans 3:26. Okay, let's pray. And don't lose that. And if you're over 50, better start studying today. Okay? Over 50, better start studying today. If you're under 25, you can study 10 minutes before class and remember it and forget it within 10 minutes. Okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, pray that you'll bless as we seek to make the effort to give your Holy Spirit a tool of the Word of God in our hearts and our minds that he can use for your glory. And I pray that you would give us in your grace the understanding to realize that we need your word and these truths hidden in our hearts and our minds, that we, Lord, could be what we ought to be for you and think correctly in Jesus' name. Amen.